This episode of The Girlfriend Bracket is brought to you by Gathering Magic and CoolStuffInc.com. With free shipping on orders of $100 or more, a 25% buy list bonus, and their ever-popular customer rewards program, CoolStuffInc is the store for all of your Magic the Gathering needs. Everybody, this is episode number 78 of The Girlfriend Bracket. My name is Erin.
I'm Hallie.
I'm Katie.
And I'm Chris.
Hallie's back!
Yay!
We are making up for the fact that we only had three people last week by giving you five people this week. Yeah, you heard us right. Five.
Ooh.
Hold on to your butts. This is going to be a really good time. So we have a guest tonight. She's actually a friend of mine. I've known her for what feels like forever. She is a kick-ass lady magic player from Wisconsin. She has a really awesome Magic the Gathering tattoo. And her most notable finish is top eight at Grand Prix Nashville in 2012. She is Lissa Jensen. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, thank you so much for being on the show.
No, thank you so much for having me.
Oh my God, I literally feel like I've known you forever.
I know.
Yeah, oh, geez. And I have to say, you know, for as long as I've known you, one thing I really admire about you, Lissa, is that every time I see you, you always look like you're having so much fun.
Well, that's why you play magic, right?
That's true. But like every time I see you, you're very boisterous. You're very expressive. You're laughing. I don't think I've ever run into you when you're like in the tank, when you're like, you know, really thinking hard or like when you're coming off of a loss. Like every time I see you, you're just having a really good time. And I really like that about you.
Every once in a while, I get pretty tilt, but it's rare. It's rare.
Yeah, and I really admire that because, you know, there are some times that I forget to, like you said, that I'm here to have fun. Like, sometimes I have to remind myself to have fun. Like, how screwed up is that?
That's the entire reason to play, to meet new people and to have fun.
Absolutely, absolutely. So for those who don't know anything about you, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions and just to find out some things. So when did you first start playing Magic?
Okay, so it was a long time ago. I'm very old. And... a friend of mine had some cards laying around from beta, and we just liked the pretty pictures, and so we would battle with the pretty pictures. And so technically I started in beta, but I didn't really start playing until probably Ice Age.
Oh, man. It's so funny that you mentioned the pretty pictures, because Hyalopterus Lemur from Ice Age was the first card that got me into the game.
That's, like, totally the cutest card in the entire world.
Thank you.
I just had a conversation at FNM about cute cards with people, and I was like, no, you guys got to see this lemur.
Yeah.
Best card
I
ever.
I remember being in seventh grade science class and my friend Samantha having this binder full of cards, and, you know, there were the zombies and the thralls and the really gross, you know, the dragons and things like that. But I remember just seeing this cute little creature with claws, and I was like, what is that? And she's like, oh, that's just a common. But that card, you know, the art really got me into the game, and it's so funny that you bring that up.
It's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
We really liked Wood Sprite, like the original, because it was like a fairy riding a deer, you know, pretty.
That's goals right there.
Right?
So eventually you started becoming competitive and you had a really big finish at Grand Prix Nashville in 2012. What was that like?
Well, it was my only top eight finish, and it was also my only day two of a GP. I decided to retire after that because I have 100% top eighted my day twos. And I think that's a really good stat to have. No, it was amazing. And I had some really great advice from some really great people and some really great cheering squads. So it was probably the peak of my life. It was amazing.
And I understand that you played a young man named Reed Duke.
I did. I don't even know if I'd say that I played anything really. He just kind of obliterated me.
It's funny because I was researching your background for the show and I remember that picture and I remember that event and I saw the top eight bracket and I was like, oh, she played Reed Duke.
I did.
I'm a Reed Duke super fan. So I was so jealous and I was like, oh, I wish.
It was almost like I felt bad losing to him because he's so nice.
Yeah.
You know, like he felt a little bad and that made me feel so much worse, you know, because he's just the nicest person you've ever met. And you're like, oh no, it's okay. Don't worry.
Yeah.
I'm totally fine with losing. No, don't worry about it. He's just so nice.
Yeah, he is. He is. And so one of the things we like to ask fellow ladies who come on the show is, what has your experience been like overall as a lady magic player?
Well, you know, you always get, you get the good and the bad. You know, there's always that. And I've overall, I would say that I have had a really good experience with magic. And with other magic players, I've been very fortunate to always usually have a great store, to play at for F&M, where I have really respectful male counterparts and female counterparts that work really well together. And so, you know, I think I've had a really great experience, although I do see a lot of, you know, problems still in the magic community, which is sad.
Yeah. I think it also helps that, you know, for as long as I've known you, you know, you mentioned sort of your cheerleading squad when you made top eight of the GP. And for as long as I've known you, you've always had a really supportive group around you, which is where I think that, you know, some of the problems come into play is a lot of these girls and these women who are getting into the scene, they're going in really by themselves. You know, Hallie recently started a Facebook group called Ladies on the Grind, which was for women to sort of network and try to find people to go with. And we were seeing so many women joining the group that were saying, I don't have anybody. Like, I'm literally going to these things by myself. I really need people to just go with and be with me and stay with me, like in hotel rooms and things like that. And so I wonder, you know, do you think having that really strong group around you really helped with that?
Oh, it did. I you know, it was my first nationals I ever went to, and I met some really great people. I met Ben Rasmussen, and he introduced me to Adrian Sullivan. And from there, it kind of spiraled into, you know, getting to know pretty well a lot of the Wisconsin magic players. So like Sam Black. And then from there, you get to know Patrick Chapin and some just amazing people who are the most supportive people you will ever meet. Okay. And that's, it's just, once you know those people, you have that support group, and you really just need a support group.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we tried to, you know, we certainly try to foster that with our show and with people that we know. And it sounds like you've been really fortunate. So that's awesome.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, it's great to be able to put yourself out there too and offer to be that support group for other people. You know, and they might, you know, not necessarily want to ask you or whatever, but you, especially this great podcast you guys have, which is run by women, which is amazing. And you guys are a great support group for other women trying to get into this game.
Oh, thank you. So I want to talk about, you mentioned, you know, sort of retiring, that, you know, hitting the top eight was sort of like the apex, and you kind of took a step back and you started working behind the scenes. And I've seen you working with game companies. And what has that been like?
Oh, it's amazing. I work for Stoneblade Entertainment, which is run by Magic Players. It's run by John Fiorello and Justin Gary and Brian Kibler. Along with some other great names, Rob Doherty does a bunch of stuff for them. And they are, you know, it's just, it's a great world to be in. They're the nicest people, and you get to meet new people who love things that you love. And I love it. It's just amazing. I do all the cons for them, which is the most fun ever.
It's funny, as I remember seeing you guys at the last Gen Con I went to, and Kibler was working. And, you know, one thing I don't think Kibler really gets enough credit for is that he knows how to work a room. And I mean, like, just seeing him interact with customers, it's like, you know, people like to say that he's very charming and he's cute and all that stuff. But, you know, when you put him in front of, like, in a professional capacity, he knocks it out of the park. Like, he was able to take people that were waiting in line because it's Gen Con, you know, and they were kind of grumpy and they were kind of, why am I waiting here? And just spending a minute with them, he was able to turn every single customer around. And I really gained a new respect for him, you know, kind of as an entrepreneur and kind of as a business person, just handling it like that, because I don't think, you know, we only know, you know, certain sides of people, and he just really wowed me like that.
Oh yeah. He's one of the best sellers. I mean, really. And he has a great, ability to, actually look at you and feel like he's truly listening to what you say for every single person. And he always makes time for someone who wants to come up and take a picture or wants to ask him a question or wants him to sign a card. He's really great in every capacity.
Yeah. Emma Handy's the same way. If you ever get a chance to talk to Emma Handy, she looks at you in such a way where she's really listening to you. And I know that sounds kind of trite because you just assume that everybody you talk to is listening to you, but she looks at you in such a way where it's almost disarming, where you're like, oh, you're really listening. Like, whoa. Like,
you mean the way people should actually listen to people?
Exactly. So are you guys working on anything cool right now? Like, what current projects are you on?
Actually, I'm working with John Fiorello. He's kind of split off into his own thing. And he has started a new company called Gold Baby Games. And we are kickstarting our very first game. And it's amazing. You guys should really check it out. It's called Drawing Dead Game. And it's basically seven-card stud poker where you get to draft rolls.
Whoa.
Yes. So then you get to, like, use your rolls to, like, steal other people's cards or skip people's turns or steal their money.
Hello.
Yeah, right? It's amazing.
Now, is this for somebody, because I admit I'm not a poker player, and I know that there's a lot of crossroads between, like, Magic and poker, and so for somebody like me and maybe even the others who don't play a lot of poker, like, is this accessible to us?
Yes, it totally is. It's a super exciting game. You basically, most everyone knows the basic poker hands, which is all the poker knowledge you really need, and you're just trying to collect cards and then make the best poker hand out of it. And most of the time, people will be stealing your cards and you'll be getting new cards. And it's really more about that sort of interaction where you get to actually interact with your opponents.
I don't know, Lissa. You know the decks that I play, though. You kind of lost me at interacting with my opponent. Like...
Well, it's like stealing their stuff. There's no, like, there's no counter spells here. You're like, well, I'm gonna take your money.
You're losing us here. First you said there's interaction, which eliminates me. Then you said counter spells, which eliminates Chris. Like...
Well, there isn't a counter spell yet, but there's always room for, you know, extra packs that we might have later.
Hello. And you said it's called Drawing Dead, like deceased?
Yes.
Okay.
And you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and we have a website called drawingdead.com. And let's see here. We are kickstarting right now. So if you could go and take a peek at it, it would be great.
Well, I'm certainly going to do that because it sounds like fun. I mean, you had me at dead. Like, you lost me at interaction. And then when you said dead things, I came right back.
It's, and you, what you really need to look at is the art. The art is amazing. John is doing all the art on his own. And it's all, like, Wild West with Day of the Dead themed, makeup.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That sounds awesome.
The art is really, really cool. It makes the game. I mean, it's super fun too, but
yeah,
it's really, you know, we're girls. It's about the art.
Yeah, I mean, come on. So I'm definitely going to check it out after the show, and hopefully you'll stick around for the rest of the show and kiki with us for a little bit.
Of course.
Cool. So Chris, this past weekend, you had an event that you went to, a benefit for a friend of yours from the local game store. And why don't you tell us what it was and how it went?
Okay. So last month, our store manager, who was in charge of Coliseum Games, where I go and play FNM every week, he passed away. He had been sick for a little bit of time with cancer, and then due to some complications, like with some treatments and some surgeries, he ended up losing his life. It was very difficult for our store to kind of deal with because, like, we knew he had been sick, but then all of a sudden, he was gone. And so it was very difficult for the store owners to deal with because they were close to him, and just for us to see him all the time. And then now he's gone. He was a staple of the store. And they wanted to do something to help honor him. So they decided to do a modern tournament. So it was a $20 entry. You could also stay after the tournament was done and do party games like Werewolf and Secret Hitler and some other games that you could play for $5. And then anything that you purchased, like snack-wise, that was brought in, or any donations that you made, would all go towards taking care of, I believe, Matt's funeral, his health expenses, all those things. There was a GoFundMe that was set up for him. And it looks like it had a really awesome turnout. I was taking pictures because I was just so happy to see everyone there and come out and show their support. There was board gamers that were there too that were playing. And all in all, it was a nice thing to participate in for something that was so tragic that happened. I decided to pilot Titan Shift like I do, and I ended up going 3-3. I lost to Sun and Moon,
Oh no.
Yeah. It was less than ideal. It was a second round and I had just swept Affinity, and then I went to go lose to Sun and Moon. I lost to Bogles, which I don't play very often.
Oh no.
I know. I was like, Katie's gonna be so disappointed.
Not disappointed in you, disappointed in the Bogles.
Yeah. Yeah. It was less than ideal, to say the least. I did beat 8WAC, which I haven't had a chance to play with in paper, so that was interesting. I ended up losing to Affinity and sweeping Infect. So sometimes that just happens. My friend Chris Preston that I've talked about before, his mom, she made some like goodie bags for people. His aunt had her famous ho-ho cake that she was selling. So all the proceeds from all that went towards Matt as well. And all in all, they raised $1,700 to help his family. Yeah, it was pretty amazing. And his mom did come in probably like round three or so, and she brought us all like free soda and candy and stuff, and we were all like, thanks. And it was just, I don't know, everyone got along, we had a good day. Like, there was no, I didn't feel like there was a super competitive edge. I mean, but they had some really decent prizes. You were able to get a box of Kaladesh if you won. I think second place was a box of like Eldritch Moon. So it kind of scaled down from there. And then they also did a raffle for, I believe, a box of Kaladesh and for From the Vault Lore. So then you could buy raffle tickets on top of everything else. So it was a good turnout. I'm glad I went. I was able to trade a shift with someone so that I could be there, because I felt like it was just something important. And, you know, I don't know if this will maybe become just like a yearly thing, or maybe they decide to do a Memorial Modern event for Matt every year just to, you know, remember him extra special. I would love if they did something like that. I know that there are some game stores that do memorial tournaments every year to honor a fallen planeswalker at their store. So that would be something that I would definitely be behind. And it was all in all was a good event. And I'm just sad that he couldn't be there to see it. But I was really proud of our little community coming together to show support for someone that we're really going to miss.
Yeah.
And he was 24, yeah?
He's 29.
29. Mm. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That is nuts.
I know.
You know, you mentioned benefit tournaments, and I'm always reminded of the young man. I can't remember his last name, but his name is Hunter, the young man who committed suicide in Texas. And his mom turned that into a yearly, you know, tournament for people. And I think she might have been our Woman of Excellence one time.
She was.
We were promoting. Yeah. And I remember, you know, that whole thing. And like, you know, it's a shame that it takes things like that to kind of bring people together. You know, Lissa mentioned earlier in the show that we play this game for fun. And a lot of times we forget that, you know, we're playing against people and that we are people. And sometimes it's things like this that unfortunately remind us of that. And I remember him. I didn't know him very well, but I mean, I certainly played at your game store a couple of times. And I remember him signing me up for FNM and having a really great, you know, personality and great sense of humor, and him calling the pairings and calling the prizes. And even though I didn't know him very well, it still hurt to hear that he was no longer with us. And I just hope that this sort of encourages people to not let it get to that point where it's like, don't wait until someone passes away to appreciate the people around you.
Very true.
Yeah. Speaking of appreciating people around you and appreciating your circumstance, there was an article that came out a couple weeks ago from Matt Sperling. He wrote a post about the real lifestyle of a Magic the Gathering player, and he posted a blog post by an anonymous person. And there was a lot of discussion about whether or not it was real or whether or not it was satire, and I don't think we ever really settled that. But it did get a lot of people talking as to like the pro lifestyle and how accurate that is and how comfortable that is, quite frankly. And Jerry Thompson had some thoughts on this, and he posted an article to Reddit, which I know Chris, you recommended, and I think Katie, you did too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he basically talks about how he's battled with depression and how, you know, everything's kind of a blur, but that ultimately Magic has sort of saved him in a way. And, you know, Katie, what was it about this article that you really enjoyed?
Well, I think it just kind of points out, I mean, this has kind of been a big topic ever since the first article came out that's been floating around the community. And I think it just points out that just because you do a job that everybody else thinks is cool doesn't mean that everything's so spiffy and neat. Like, a lot of people think that the pros, you know, have this great life where they get to go to all these magic tournaments and people know who they are and they want to come up and get their autographs. But that's not really always the most fun thing, like to have a bunch of very superficial comments and, you know, very brief interactions. And he mentioned not really knowing who his friends were for a while before getting into magic and getting really, really close friends. But I just liked how open and honest he was, especially about depression. I think there's a lot of people in magic and in the world in general who have depression. You know, you're not alone when you play magic. You have friends, you have people to back you up. And it might not always be fun, especially living the grinding life and going somewhere different every weekend and getting a different hotel room. And sometimes they're not very nice. And, you know, it can become a blur. But remembering, like, why you got into it. And then maybe if you're not happy with it, being able to change your situation or, you know, remembering why you got into it can be just enough of a reminder to, like, set you back on the right positive mindset. I kind of liked both sides of them. I know the first article got a lot of flack online, and I didn't feel like that was really warranted because somebody was sharing their experiences, and for the community to be so negative about those experiences. Like, there's a lot of people who are like, well, I would love it if I was a pro and got to do all the stuff you do, but until you're really in that situation, I don't think you know what it's like. I mean, we can read experiences and stuff, but when somebody says you should be grateful for what you have, it doesn't always make you feel better or help in any way. Mm-hmm. So I really liked Jerry's response to it because he did say that there are some parts that aren't so great, but in the end, he does like what he does. I don't know. I think both of them just kind of hit home for me and were really great pieces to read kind of side by side.
Yeah, Lissa, being as close to this as you were, you know, back when you used to play, and even with the circle of friends that you have, you know, could you relate to anything that Jerry or Matt was saying? Like, is any of that true in your opinion?
Oh, yeah. I mean, definitely. And that's actually why I took a step back after I top eighted my Grand Prix. And it's because, you know, I play for fun, and a lot of people are actually doing this as their job. And I would love to be able to do that as my job to the point that I'm still having fun doing it. And it does become a grind, and it's hard, and you have to travel every weekend, and, you know, it's just a lot to keep doing every weekend. And it stopped being fun. And then, you know, that's when you need to take a step back, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and Hallie, as somebody who, you know, for as long as I've known you, you've always wanted to sort of be on the train, mm-hmm. you know, when you read things like this, you know, do you feel like it maybe might change your opinion on that, or do you still think that one day you might want to do this?
It is definitely one thing that I want to do, but sort of going back to the time when we had Janine on the show and you asked her about what kind of magic player she wants to be, that's definitely an internal dialogue that I've had. Just reading a lot of things about the pro lifestyle, it's made me question whether it actually is for me. I know I've definitely, I definitely have the little Chris Pakula voice in my head every now and then, because Chris Pakula likes to go on Twitter occasionally and talk about how, you know, how much he, I guess how much he's seen a lot of, really talented young people become magic pros and wonders whether or not they regret their choices. I think he posted something like that, you know, a couple months back. It's definitely made me sort of rethink things because I did suffer a lot of burnout in the last year and I wasn't even traveling far from home that much. Even just going to PPTQs every single weekend and playing against the same people every weekend and feeling isolated within my own community every weekend really started to wear on me. And so I've actually stepped back a little bit these past couple months and have been, you know, trying to just draft with my friends, draft with my coworkers, draft on Magic Online, not go through the grind as much and remind myself why I love Magic in the first place. And I think that's been really good for me. But I did really enjoy Jerry's response to this. Like Katie said, I thought it was very balanced and very realistic. And, you know, as someone with seasonal affective disorder, I can say that there are ups and downs when you play Magic. There are times of the year when I'm really feeling high on it and times of the year when I'm really feeling low on it. So I could relate to a lot of what Jerry was saying, even though I'm not a pro like he is.
Yeah, I related to a lot of things that he said, even just as a content creator. Like there were several moments in his article that almost felt like I'd been sucker punched just because mm-hmm. they were so real and they were so true. Mm-hmm. You know, for example, he makes a comment where he says, "I'm a 32-year-old, 20-year-old."
Yes.
Damn, because you know, and I've talked about this before. It's like, you know, and you know, I've talked about, you know, being visible all of a sudden and having your popularity kind of skyrocket, and you know, the fact that, you know, my friend Jess the other day had sent me a message. She's from Canada. She sent me an IM and she was like, "Hey girl, is it still okay if I come crash with you for Grand Prix Milwaukee?" And I was like, "Oh Jess, we've got a couple of," and I look at the calendar and I'm like, "We've got 30 days. And I'm like, 30 days? How is it already December? How are we already at Grand Prix Milwaukee? We were just in GP Oakland last year. Like, that was a year ago that we were on Katie's houseboat. I was like, mm-hmm. where did this year go? And then yeah. I think about it and I was like, Oakland was in January. Detroit was in March. SCG Indy was in May. Columbus was in June. Like, I'm going through all these events and my year just flew by. And, you know, I remember there was somebody at the Open the other day who was like, "Hey, you know, you remember me, don't you?" And I was like, I don't. Like, I'm not trying to be a jerk, but like, I've met so many people and, you know, all of the games start to blur into one or the other, which is something else Jerry mentions. You know, Jerry said that he had an opponent who says, "I've played you several times." And Jerry's like, "I remember none of them." Like, I just, mm-hmm. you know, it's embarrassing, but it's true. And, you know, so I related to this, even though I'm not necessarily a pro, even just being a visible personality, you know, over the last year and just doing as many things as we do, all of this was really true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. The 32-year-old, 20-year-old thing really, really hit home for me because I keep forgetting how old I am. Seriously. Like,
yeah.
I keep thinking that I'm still, you know, 23 or 24 or however old I was when I like first started playing Magic. It's like, oh shit, I'm 26 already. Really? Like 4 years have gone by in this amount of time. Like, it's ridiculous. I just can't fathom it sometimes.
And I felt like it hit home for the part where he was talking about, both not remembering people, but also, like, when people come up to him and ask him for random advice and then go about their day. And it's like, if you've ever been in retail or food service or anything that has to do with people, and you're like, "Hey, how are ya?" And they're like, "Good, how are you?" And you're like, "Good, have a good day." And doing that over and over and over can be so taxing on you. Like, mm-hmm. that kind of thing can definitely get to a person. And I feel like in the weekend of a GP, with how many people approach pros and are like, "How would you sideboard in this matchup? Okay, thanks. Can you sign this? All right, bye." Like, just over and over and over. And it's not people's fault that they want to see the people they idolize, but I can just imagine how that would be very, very wearing on you when you're like, "I just kind of want a minute for myself. Like, I don't really, you know, maybe I didn't win last round or whatever it may be," but I just feel like that would get really, really tiring really quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely felt a lot of feelings reading Jerry's article, because I could really relate to a lot of the feelings he was having, especially within the last probably 6 months. Magic is kind of an ebb and flow, like he talks about, and, you know, the good ultimately does outweigh the bad. And I could also agree with him talking about tournaments blurring together. I've been to so many this year already that I try to remember what I did when, who I met where. I felt bad because someone, you know, the same thing like Aaron just said, is like, "Don't you remember me?" And I was like, "Wait a second." And then they said something, I'm like, "Yes, okay, now I do." But then I felt really terrible because I didn't remember this person, and obviously our interaction really meant something to them. And then I was like, "Am I ruining this now because I said I didn't remember them right away?" And so then I felt really horrible. And he also mentioned something in there about playing Magic to the degree that you do, or being involved in Magic, however you are, can sometimes take a toll on the interaction you have with people that are close to you. And I can definitely understand that, both in my relationships with my family, my friends, you know, my significant other. You know, it's all taken a little bit of a toll on those relationships from the amount of time that I do devote to playing Magic or doing things for Magic. I thought it was kind of sad when he talked about how your successes are so easily forgotten, And people are like, oh yeah, we forgot you did that thing that one time, or, you know, you won so many GPs all in a row, and then nobody remembers that it's on to the next hot thing. And I never really thought about it that way before until he kind of put it into perspective. And I'm like, that is kind of sad that you don't remember people for their accomplishments. You're just always waiting for the next big thing. Mm-hmm. And I also related to his streak of, you know, playing poorly, where he's like, I haven't done well this entire season. And I can definitely understand that. You know, I've definitely been in slumps myself. I'm not a pro player, but I could definitely feel the pressure sometimes to be good. But lately I've had to tell myself, I don't need to be good. I just need to be me. And that's totally fine. People will hopefully like me whether I win or if I don't. And at the end of the day, I can only be myself and be true to myself. And the one big takeaway that I took from all of this was him mentioning that your impact on people will ultimately be the legacy that you leave. How you treat people at tournaments, you know, your fans, your friends, you know, the people that you network with, people that come up to you and want to hear your advice or tell you that, you know, a story that you told or a play that you made or something meant something to them. And ultimately that his interactions with people are what will ultimately stay with him from his experience within the Magic community. And I feel the same way. Ultimately, regardless of how long this podcast goes on, regardless of how long I play the game, how I interacted with other people and the impact that I made on them will ultimately be the most important thing to come out of it, no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Well, we certainly love you, Chris. I have to say, I don't know how much you did build in fact, didn't you?
Maybe. I might have done those things.
Okay, I'm just saying, like, we love you, but you own in fact.
So. I know. Hey, I just wanted to count to 10.
It's okay, Chris. I own Infect too. I'm terrible
you
playing it.
You know, Judas's. Katie plays Rest in Peace. You two play Infect. Lissa, you need to back me up here. Tell me that you're good and pure.
Oh, sweethearts. I don't play anything constructed. Just, no, bin it all. Like, I'm a limited player through and through. If we aren't playing sealed or draft, I ain't playing. Sorry, guys.
I'll take it. Lissa, you'll be my safe space. I hope you don't mind.
Just come hang out with me. I have 6 packs. That's all you need.
Oh, man. I do enjoy 6 packs.
Hey, man.
So before we go, speaking of fun, that seems to be the theme of this show, Commander 2016 was completely revealed the other day. The gist of the set seems to be 4 colors. There are 5 decks. There is Invent Superiority, which includes Brea, who is, to me, is a dead ringer for Christine Sprankle. If she doesn't get it together and figure out how to portray Ethereum, I'm going to be so angry because she could totally do that. The other deck is Entropic Uprising, which is including Yidris, Maelstrom Wielder, who I call Yidris Elba. I can't help it. Open Hostility is helmed by a young lady named Saskia the Unyielding. Stalwart Unity, which is Kaneos and Tiro of Miletus, who
what?
Are the
what?
Yeah, the yep. Guardians of Miletus have become a card. They are a wonderful gay couple, and I completely love it. Mm-hmm. And Breed Lethality, which is helmed by Atraxa Praetor's Voice, the Phyrexian Angel. This looks like a lot of fun. Are you all interested in this?
Yes. I want all of them.
Okay. You want all of them.
It always seems to make sense to have commander decks around, especially ones that are pre-cons, just in general to have fun with friends. And also if you just want to, like, upgrade them, like I know you have, Aaron, and, you know, other people have. And I just... there's a lot of cards in there that just look pretty cool. Even if you were going to take them out of the pre-constructor deck and put them in other things, I'm really excited about the fact that Wizards is representing a wonderful gay couple together. I think that that's awesome and goes to show, you know, how much they are trying to do for diversity. And I was happy that a lot of reprints were being done, and I'm just really ready to order all of them.
I kind of want to play Commander, which yes. I've, like, never done before. But maybe I could just, like, buy a deck, see how I like it, maybe change 1 or 2 cards, see how I like it. But I kind of got the feelings for Brea, because she's got so many options, and I love options. Yeah. And I don't even really have, like, a big thing for artifact creatures, but maybe I could. maybe somewhere deep down I could get it up for the artifacts.
It's good to be open to new things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's the whole point of the commander sets, though, is, like, you know, they're meant to get people into it who normally wouldn't. Like, I was kind of like you, Katie. I used to never really play it. I never really enjoyed it. And then I picked up the Daxos pre-con at the last go-around, and MTG Goldfish released a series where, like, you could pay $20. So, like, they gave you, like, a list of, like, the not-so-great cards, and they were like, for $20, you can replace all of this chaff and get these better singles and make your deck better. And my local game store, I found out, has a Sunday commander, which is really casual, which is the way I like my commander. And I started playing that deck and having a lot of fun with it. And even Chris, you know, Chris mentioned owning the pre-cons. You know, I think some of the best times I've had playing commander was when I was at Chris's place with their partner, Nick, and we would just open up the box. We didn't even know what was in the boxes, and we would just play it and have a really good time. And I think that's sort of, I think that's my way of knowing that this set is doing its job, and it makes people like us want to play it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hallie, Lissa, are there any sets you want to play?
I actually really like playing Commander. Our old store had really great Commander fun people. I never did the pre-cons. I was always, because I am pretty gruel, so.
You are.
I am a big fan of Rukthar. Just putting it out there. It was amazing.
No.
All it is a giant toolbox of dudes.
I do want to go back to that for a second. You know, I mentioned that your awesome tattoo. What is your tattoo for the folks who don't know?
So it is a casting cost. To play me, if I were a card, you would pay 2 colorless, a red, and a green.
Wow. So yes. you are in ink, you are gruel, like literally to the bone.
I am the gruel.
Wow.
Yeah, so when I decided I wanted a magic tattoo, I always knew I wanted a magic tattoo. The first thing you learn in magic is that you're a planeswalker. So I found my favorite planeswalker that I think embodies me, and that's what I got. So I am Sarkhanbol.
Wow.
Yeah, because I like to give a little +1/+1 to my friends. Everyone needs a boost sometimes, right? And I have no problem threatening people who threaten me and or my friends. Okay. And I have been told that I am very good at raising people up and turning them into dragons.
Wow.
So I am Sarkhanbol.
I want to get a magic tattoo, but I just have no pain tolerance. But if I were to get a magic tattoo, I fantasized about getting a narcomoeba, like have it coming out of my shoulder.
Awesome.
Like on my right shoulder, because everybody knows me as being the Dredge Girl. And the theory being that the narcomoebas, if you were to like cut me open, a narcomoeba would sort of fly out and just have it be like on the right shoulder and have like the blue background. And it's just sort of almost coming out of me. I thought would be really cool, but I can't do it because I'm such a wimp.
Oh, that's awesome, though.
You should totally do it. You just got to find the right guy. He'll be gentle with you.
You have no idea. You have no idea. So, Hallie, do you have any interest in the new commander sets?
I do think a lot of the characters are really interesting. Like, I'm super happy that the Guardians of Melita's got their own card, but I'm not much of a commander player. I've been thinking about this a lot recently and talking to coworkers who are commander players about this, and I think I enjoy the process of building commander decks. Like, I really enjoy, you know, taking a card and sort of using it to build a deck, but I don't actually like the way that commander games play out. I'm so used to playing one-on-one magic that I'm just not used to this whole, you know, diplomacy game where you have to slowly build up your resources and not threaten anybody too much and get everyone to attack each other and not you. Like, it's not a skill that transfers easily from one-on-one magic to multiplayer magic. So it's not really my thing. That said, if a bunch of people were getting together to play these commander pre-cons, I would pick one up and play it. I think they're really cool and well-designed, and they seem like they're pretty well-balanced, but definitely not my favorite format.
I do want to touch on how much of a home run this is for diversity. So, you know, you mentioned the Kaneos and Tiro, and I want to talk about all the layers of this card, because I don't think people really realize everything that's going on in that artwork. So, for example, so let's begin. So we have two men who obviously care about each other. That's awesome. Number one. Number two, Kaneos is a black man.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a black man and a white man together, interracial, queer person of color. Fantastic. Number three, you can see that Tiro is holding Kaneos' helmet so that he can touch his hair.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very intimate and subtle gesture. Like, there's nothing overt about that, but anybody who's ever been in love or anybody who's ever cared about somebody will recognize those little things that indicate that you care about somebody. So that's awesome, number three. I think we're on three. Number four, they're happy. They're not in some war-torn hellhole. One's not about to die. Like, they're in this beautiful land that they are looking over. They say the flavor text, look what we fought for. Look what we built together. They're happy. You know, this isn't a situation where, I know there's been a really depressing trend happening in television called hashtag bury your gays, where somebody did a study and saw that all these TV shows were like killing their gay characters and the gay characters just weren't getting happy endings and things like that. These guys are happy. Like, they're happy and they have this beautiful world in front of them. And I think that's glorious. And it's just, if you look at all of these layers, and also last but not least, that card is going to be in the front of a box that's going to be in a toy store.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, how cool and subtle is that? That there could be some kid out there who sees these two men and goes, huh, that's, and it might trigger something and it might make them think this is okay. And there might be just some impact on that. And I think that's really stellar.
Yeah. So, and I think there might even be like a second layer of meaning in that flavor text. Like, look what we as the magic community fought for and what we built together. Like, look at this awesome inclusive community we built together. I think that's pretty rad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also want to talk about all the strong women in this set. So we have Brea, who's the badass. Saskia the Unyielding, she's a badass lady. Atraxa, the Phyrexian Angel. Vile Smasher the Fierce, who's a confirmed female goblin berserker.
What?
How badass is that? Tana the Bloodsower, Gruul. Hello, Lyssa, right up your alley.
Yeah, I love Gruul. Gruul's the best.
Yeah, yeah. Lyssa's like, I don't care. Name abilities, put it in.
Is it a Gruul thing? I like Gruul.
She has your casting cost, too.
Oh, that's how exciting. True. Oh,
yeah.
That was the worst when Bloodbraid Elf came out. I had red hair. It was not good.
Aww.
Not good.
Oh, man. Did someone try like a bad Cascade pickup line on you or something?
Oh, so many. So many.
Oh, my God. Oh, my
They were all atrocious.
We also have Kadeli, the Chosen of Krufix. We have Ikra Shadiki, the Usurper, who's literally the epitome of Yas Queen. Like, she's a Naga queen. She's got her bowl of skull fruit. She gives no fucks. Akiri Lineslinger, who's a core hook person. Timna the Weaver, dark-skinned black woman. Yes! Yes! It's like Lupita Nyong'o in a card. I'm so here for that. Rayhan, Last of the Abzan. There's just so many kick-ass ladies here, and they're all done so well, and they're so diverse. And so all of that on top of Kaneos and Tiros is just a home run. And so I'm really proud of this set.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah. So there was one thing that happened literally hours before we recorded the show, and I thought it might be fun to kind of touch on a little bit because we've mentioned all the events that we go to. Star City Games just recently made an announcement with some things involving their 2017 SCG tour, and there were some very interesting developments. So first and foremost, they are no longer going to be doing the Players' Championship. Which I found very interesting. It's going to be just boiling down to the season-ending Invitational now. There's going to be two seasons of the SCG Tour instead of three. They are also doing away with the Legacy Classics for the most part. So for those who don't know, the Classics are sort of the events on Sunday. So like if you don't make day two, and a lot of people don't, because I believe they're usually like a hard 7-2 with almost no buys, and so it's quite difficult. So like let's say you go to a standard open, the Classics on Sunday are usually Modern and Legacy. The format usually doesn't match what the first days was. And so when we were at the last open, it was Modern the main event and then Standard and Legacy Classic. Well, now they're doing away with all of that. And so unless you're at a team constructed open, of which there's only one of each season, you only get to play Modern and Standard. Legacy Opens will also have that, but then there's also one. And so they really are cutting back on the Legacy support. It looks like they've also trimmed the Legacy Opens. Like, I think they're going down to one per season. And so the whole just aura of this announcement just feels really kind of doom and gloom. And, did you guys have a chance to look at it?
I did take a look at it, yeah. And I saw a couple of the hot takes on Twitter. I'm not personally affected by this too much because SCG doesn't really run events in my region anyway. So I don't go to a lot of SCG events. I'll, you know, maybe occasionally go to one, but, I mostly just go to Grand Prix and things like that. But it definitely seemed like they're cutting back on quite a bit. It seemed like they're even reducing the number of opens. Like, as it stands now, there's an open just about every weekend, or like almost every weekend, except when there are, you know, blackout weekends for special events or holidays or things. But now it seems like there are two opens a month, which is reduced from, you know, usually 3 to 4. So it seems like they're definitely cutting back a bit. And, you know, just seeing a couple people on Twitter, it sounds like the Players' Championship was a big incentive for people to grind and rack up points, because it's basically the analog to Worlds in, you know, the greater Magic community. So, you know, without that incentive, I wonder how many people are going to want to keep grinding on the SCG Tour, or, you know, continue to go to a lot of these events.
Yeah, I was also a little disappointed that they got rid of states. I top 8 at states. that was like my first taste of like really serious competition with ad nauseum. And so they're getting rid of that. And they're only having 2 regionals per year. There were 3 this year. There's 1 in February and 1 in November. And it just seems like there's just a general cutting back. And, you know, Chris, you and I have traveled to many of these together. And so what do you think about all of this?
Well, I will say I was pretty disappointed to kind of just feel like I was bum rushed with this whole thing. I feel like there's been a lot of things with Star City that have just been kind of slowly going downhill. I do not sell myself as a business person, so I don't know what it's like on the business end of things, but it just seems like they keep on dialing back so many things. And I know that in the article, Pete was talking about how there was a concern that they would have to eliminate the SCG Tour completely. It was like, well, why? Like, I guess I would like to hear the reasons behind all this. I feel like a lot of things happen with Star City, but we never hear the reasons as to why. It's just like, this thing is bad, but this is how we fixed it. But it's like, well, how did we get here? Like, what actually is the issue? And that's something I would like to hear more from them. I feel sad for people that do play Legacy, that they are going to have less of an opportunity to than they already had in more recent months. I do not play Legacy. A lot of people, though, are saying that this is kind of like the final nail in the coffin for certain areas to play Legacy. Unless you have events, you're pretty much boned. I was happy to see that there were some cities that were close, but it felt like there were certain areas that they have visited in the past. It doesn't look like they're going to do the first half of the tour, and they're only doing 2 seasons now, so that's a little disappointing. Like I said, I'd like to hear more of the method behind the madness and like why this is happening. And for people that we do know that are kind of like on that grind, I wonder what their options are now, if they're going to change any of the plans they had previously made, or did they have any, you know, hopes for the coming season that now are not going to happen because of this restructuring. And I wish that Star City could see some of the opportunities that they truly have in front of them that they could take advantage of, and whether or not it's not financially feasible or they just choose not to. I'm not quite sure. I feel like, given the fact that, just as an aside, Grand Prix events have become so much more than just a Grand Prix. And I feel like, in regard to Star City, that they could take advantage of some of that as well. That, you know, first it's like, okay, well, you know, this is SCG, now we're the tour, we have a sponsor. I mean, what's going on with Ultimate Guard? I thought they were sponsoring them. Is that not working out so well? What's the story there? And, you know, I think that there are things they could be taking advantage of, other events they could maybe be offering there in place of, you know, if they're going to take away these Legacy Classics, are there other things they're going to offer instead? They could take advantage of little things that could make it more like a traveling mini con. And I don't think that it would be completely unheard of. I don't think it would be financially devastating by any means, but I think that if you're going to take away things that players did enjoy, you should be replacing them with something that will give them, you know, the most bang for their buck or for their time, because of so many people that go to these open events, they travel pretty far. I mean, even, you know, when we went to Milwaukee, I was telling people, yeah, if there's an event between like 5 to 7 hours or so, I'll drive there. NBD, you know, I'll totally go. And I heard the same thing from other people. I mean, most people are probably within, you know, like a state away, but some people drive from further than that. And I think that that's something to take into account, that there are people that are putting wear and tear on their car, you know, sacrificing their time doing things because they really want to be a part of this. And I think that Star City could look into some options to possibly kind of recreate themselves instead of taking things away and saying, well, we're just going to offer the bare minimum from now on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was affected by this in terms of the legacy. You know, Milwaukee doesn't have much of a legacy scene. You know, we have one event that fires on Wednesday nights, and it's usually like the same 8 or 10 people, and I can't go to that because I podcast on Wednesday nights. And, you know, so my only opportunity to play Paper Magic is at the Classics. And, you know, I play on Magic Online quite a bit, but it's not the same. And, you know, if you take away the Classics, like it seems like they're going to, that really cuts down on the opportunity for people like me. I recently found a new legacy deck that I really enjoy and that I was starting to slowly assemble. And if I'm only going to be able to play that deck like once or twice a year, I don't know if I want to spend $100, $200 on that deck when I have it already built online and I can just as easily play it online. You know, it could very well go the way of like the Eternal Weekends and the MTG Undergrounds and things like that. But, you know, that's assuming that you already have a little posse of people that you can play with to sort of get you through until then. You know, and I try really hard not to buy into the format's dying sort of accusations, but it definitely is kind of scary to think about. Like, without that support, you know, there aren't as many legacy GPs. You know, now they've trimmed the Opens and they're trimming the Classics. You know, I can understand why people are feeling, you know, not so confident and why they may, you know, be getting scared. Like, I'm wondering, should I get rid of my Lion's Eyes? Should I, you know, what do I need to do? Because this is something I've really wanted, and, you know, Star City was my only chance to play that because there's really no other way to do that. And so I hope that, you know, like you said, Chris, maybe they'll reconsider, or maybe another TO will step up into the plate and say that we will offer these events. But it's just so surprising to me because so many people hold SCG up as sort of the gold standard. And to see Pete Hefling say things are going on that almost made me scrap it, I'm like, how did we get here? Mm-hmm. Like, I remember when we were at Milwaukee. Milwaukee has had the one we went to was like 3 opens in the last year. We had 2 last year, I believe, or 1 earlier this year and then 1 before that. And each one broke an attendance record. Mm-hmm. Like, Milwaukee's has seen consistent growth. And so I'm just wondering, how did we get here? Like you said, what's going on to where you have to scrap the whole damn thing? It just seems really, the whole post just seems very doom and gloom. And I was like, I don't feel good about this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And can we talk about how awkward it is that you're going to cut legacy events at the same time that you've got a banner on your front page saying legacy single sales? Girl, like, hey, girl, come buy our shit. You just can't play it here. What up? Like, it doesn't work like that. Like, it's so weird. And I was like, that's just bad marketing. But I don't know.
And when I read, like, the first page, like, that has the links to the other things where you can read more, it was like, by the time I landed, I was more excited about the future of the SCG Tour and StarCityGame.com's in-store programs initiatives than I ever have been before. And I was like, oh, they must have something good coming out. Let's see it. And then I read everything, and I was like, it looks like there's just less stuff. Mm-hmm. I expected more stuff.
Mm-hmm. Then again, this is the same person that released a statement that didn't make any sense in regard to even, you know, Atlanta. A whole statement that made no sense. So at this point, I have a lot of things I want to ask this man.
He's going to get it from Chris.
Just sit down. You know, like a little sit-down interview, like Barbara Walters style. I'm here for it. So anything else on our minds before we wrap up the show?
I just had one thing. In relation to the article that we had talked about earlier that Jerry had written on Reddit, he did actually do an interview with James Sue, who does the Humans of Magic podcast, and he kind of expands on other things in relation to the post that he wrote. I'm only halfway through it, but so far it's been pretty good, and he kind of opens up about a lot of things, and so definitely check it out if you would like to hear more in relation to Jerry's post about dealing with depression and his times with magic.
Very cool. We will also be at Grand Prix Dallas this coming weekend.
Yes.
So if you are a fan of ours, we will have stickers and hugs and magnets and all sorts of good stuff. And it's going to be a lot of fun. I've actually started playing. I just assembled a Modern Storm.
Yay.
Okay, I have to be completely honest with you. I'm going to try to be as clean as possible here. Modern Storm, I've been goldfishing with it all night. It feels a lot like making love, but you can't get your cookie. Like you look at your hand and you're like, oh, I'm gonna get there, I'm gonna have a good time, and then you start chaining your spells. You're like, oh, I'm close, and then you fizzle, and then all you have to do is scoop and do it all over again. And that's how this is how it feels, like, because I'm getting there. Like, I have my dice, like I have my little blue dice, my little red dice, and then my storm dice, and I'm going and I'm getting there. I'm like, oh, 12, I have to get to 18, yes. And then like I get to 14, and then I'm out of cantrips, and I'm like, I was so close, like, no. And like then you have to like figure out what you did wrong, and yeah, so
you'll, I'm gonna figure there, this out.
Figure this out.
I will always get there, let's make that clear. Okay, I don't yeah, I'm gonna go off, just yeah,
you just wait.
So if anybody's enjoyed listening to the show, how can they find you all, and how can they get a hold of you?
So I'm Hallie. You can find me on Twitter at HalCanSan. That's HalCanSan. You can also find me on Snapchat and Instagram at HalCanSan. And you can subscribe to the Card Kingdom newsletter if you would like to read my writing and watch my videos.
And I'm Katie. You can find me on Twitter at MeanMugger. That's MeanMugger. Or on Twitch, twitch.tv/meanmuggermtg. I am going to try and stream this week, which will be before this podcast comes out. But I think I'm going to, I don't know, I'm deciding between Pauper or a draft. The last draft was so detrimental to my physical and mental health that I don't know if we'll go back that far. But maybe Pauper is in the future.
Wow, Katie, I didn't know it put you through such emotional distress. Maybe I need to not ever draft. At least not on Modo.
I was like, how did this get so bad so fast? I don't even know where I went wrong.
He went down the wrong path.
I obviously did. I need to walk back like a mile the other way.
And I'm Chris. My Twitter is at THKRIZ. My Gmail is YOTHKRIZ@gmail.com. My Snapchat is Cryptic Command with K's. My blog is backtablesmtg.wordpress.com, and I think that's it. So hope to see all you fine folks in Dallas if you are going, and I'm ready for an awesome weekend.
Absolutely. And Lissa, thank you so much for being our guest today. If anybody has enjoyed listening to you, and also if they want to know more about your awesome game that you're working on, how can they find you and how can they find out more about this game?
Oh, they can find me on Facebook under my name, LissaJensen. And then you can also check out the game on Facebook, Twitter, and yet again, its website. It's drawingdeadgame.com and drawingdeadgame on Twitter and drawingdeadgame on Facebook.
Well, I hope that the game is successful and I hope that you are successful. And again, I thank you so much for coming on the show, and I can't wait to run into you again.
Oh, yes. We'll make a plan. It'll be fun.
Yes. Are you going to GP Milwaukee?
Of course. I'm actually getting back into Magic. It's very exciting. I've drafted like 3 times. I know.
Well, maybe you can convince Katie that drafting's not so bad then.
Yeah, oh, it's not. It's the best. You and I'll draft together. It'll be really fun.
Okay. There we go. And I'm Erin. You can find me on Twitter at OriginalAstrus. That's OriginalAstrus. You can email me at OriginalAstrus@gmail.com. The show is on Twitter at the GF Bracket. You can find us at twitch.tv/thegirlfriendbracket or the GF Bracket. I'm sorry. And you can email us at thegirlfriendbracket@gmail.com. Thank you all so much for listening, and we will talk to you next week. Bye-bye.